The process is easy. The deals are easy. Look, everything's got its hard parts. And, you know, sometimes the sales can be a little bit tough, but when you're doing it consistently and you get it, like the dynamics of this business in terms of the real estate world, it's probably the simplest part of it, right?
This is game-changing information guaranteed to raise your real estate wholesaling business with actionable steps you can take immediately to navigate the ins and outs of wholesaling and start making money today. Join us as we put our guests in the hot seat and dive deep to dissect their strategies for success to enable you to duplicate their results. You're listening to Wholesaling Inc., the only show dedicated to making you a fortune in wholesaling.
Hey guys, Darren Bentley here, and welcome to another episode of the Wholesaling Inc. podcast. Before we get into today's episode, I just want to tell you about an incredible offer we have that is running right now until midnight on New Year's Eve. As some of you probably know, the moratorium on foreclosures is rapidly coming to an end. And what that means is there are going to be an incredible amount of people who are going to need your help. As wholesalers, we know that it is our job to help these people out of bad situations. And for many of these people, we are the only option they have. So in the coming months, there is going to be a sea of opportunity to help folks out. And wholesalers who are smartly positioned can help many people and at the same time get paid handsomely for their work. And that is why Wholesaling Inc. has decided to extend our Black Friday sale for the last 2 weeks of the year. Call it Black Friday in December. For the next 2 weeks, we are offering you our biggest discount ever on all of our mentoring programs. Starting right now and through midnight on Friday, December 31st, when you join any one of our incredible wholesaling coaching programs, you will get $1,500 off the tuition costs. I mean, this is a total no-brainer. If you've been listening to this podcast, you know that we are pretty much the best in the business. If you follow what we teach and actually do the work, you're going to get results. You will get results. So whether your goal is to get your first wholesaling deal or build a thriving wholesaling business from the ground up, you are going to absolutely want to take advantage of this incredible discount on any of our coaching programs, which include Brent Daniels' TTP cold calling program. There's also the Wholesaling Business Blueprint, which is Rafael Cortez's program. Then there's Lauren Hardy's Virtual Investing Mastery program. Of course, there is Chris Arnold's REI radio program. Awesome program there. And the Land Sharks program, Brent Bowers teaching you how to make money with land. And of course, our newest product entry, which is Chris Craddock's REI Revive, teaching you how to monetize dead leads sitting in your database. All you have to do to take advantage of this incredible offer is go to wholesalinginc.com, choose the program or programs that you are most interested in, and schedule a call with our team. We'll hop on a short call with you, learn a little bit about you, who you are, what are your goals, what are you looking to achieve. And if we believe it is a good fit, when you join one of our programs, you will receive $1,500 off the cost of tuition. There is no time like the present. So don't wait. Go there now and schedule a call with us. You won't regret it. Now, the last time we offered this much of a discount on Black Friday, we were inundated with applications. So please be patient. It might take us some time to get to you because we are going in order here. So first come, first served. One last thing, keep in mind that the sale starts today and ends midnight on Friday, New Year's Eve. That is Friday, December 31st at midnight. So you have to have scheduled your call by or before midnight, December 31st, to take advantage of this massive discount. 2022 is less than 2 weeks away. I don't know where you are right now or if you're happy with your results for 2021, but here is your opportunity to build a lucrative real estate business and get the help that you need from some of the best coaches in the industry and save a ton of money off the tuition cost. Good luck, and let's get into today's episode.
All right. Welcome, Rhino Nation. I've got an amazing guest on today. He's actually been a Rhino for quite some time. I want to welcome you, a rock star, a good friend of mine. I actually met this guy out in Arizona, hot Arizona, several years ago. I think it's like 2016 or so we met, but got him in the land. I've been sharing my land war stories, success stories with him for several years, and he finally pulled the trigger. And I want to welcome you, Lewis Kim. How's it going, man?
Oh man, Brett, I really appreciate you having me on. I'm really, really excited to talk. And we were just talking before this started that I feel so dumb for not hearing and like really going at the land earlier. And I wish I had when you were so hot on it. And in Arizona, in fact, we were talking about it and I didn't think about it and I didn't really process it. And it's just like, man, I feel like I've missed a lot of time.
But you were doing wild, big things too. You were looking at assisted living facilities and purchasing those and acquiring that. So I know there's not a dumb bone in your body. You're very analytical guy. I was actually a little nervous to kind of coach you on it because like, I'm just like, hey, this is super simple. Keep it super simple. Like land is very simple. Like don't make it complicated.
Well, I think that's the beauty of it, right? I think that's why it's like, it's so easy, right? Like the process is easy. The deals are easy. Look, everything's got its hard parts. And you know, sometimes the sales can be a little bit tough, but when you're doing it consistently and you get it, like the dynamics of this business in terms of the real estate world, it's probably the simplest part of it, right? Like it's easier than wholesaling. It's easier than doing development. It's easier than doing flips. It's doing all of those things because you're dealing with raw land. And what it is really just getting to understand what you can do with it, right? And it's like, what's that vision of what can be done with it? And that's where you find the value. And
so tell us a little bit about yourself. I mean, you got a very diverse real estate background. I mean, you've been in this a while, so you've had your hand on a lot of things. So my first thought is, you know, why land? Because you're doing a lot of sophisticated other big real estate deals.
Yeah. So I've been involved in real estate probably since my early 20s. In fact, that was my first job out of school, was getting my real estate license and being an agent. And then I went and bought a business and I built various businesses over the years. And then we sold the businesses. And then, you know, went back to focusing on real estate and really, you know, we've done development, you know, we've done ground up builds of various things, own rentals, own short term. And it's, you know, I've got deals that we're doing in North Carolina with family down there where they're building a rental portfolio. You know, we were just talking before this too. We had been working for almost 90 days on an acquisition of two assisted living facilities in Georgia. And we were getting amazing terms, amazing deal. And then at the end, it just fell apart because I think the sellers were just not in a situation that was going to make it an easy close. And we just said, hey, it's time to walk away. And unfortunately, like in those deals, there's a bunch of sunken costs, right? Like we've dropped between the lawyers and our due diligence on that deal. We spent probably 10 grand, right?
Yeah, it adds up fast.
Yeah. And we're never getting that back, by the way, right?
Or the time.
Yeah. And so we're doing those things. And what I wanted to do, and I think with the land, when we were originally talking about it, is I'm one of those guys like to get my hands around things, right? And I like to get in there. And one of the lessons I'd learned from you, Brent, over the years is that, you know, because the way you got into everything with the military, you had to really rely on other people from the very start, right? Bring in the right team and do it. And while I had built teams, I didn't realize how controlling I actually was, right? Like, and how much I wanted to like just be on it and not give enough autonomy. And it's probably what created a lot of stresses in the past. And this allowed me to sort of almost create like an exercise where like, hey, Brent did it this way. This is how we can do it. Let's go down the road of this land thing and see if we can't build a business here that's one, fairly passive, right? One that allows us to build cash flow, but one that's simple, right? So we can just let it go. And that's how it started. And in fact, when I told you I started the course, I promised you like I was not going to get in the minutiae, right?
I love that. And you hit on so many points. Basically, I mean, I say I kind of learned that from the military. We accomplished so much, but I could not have accomplished it without the guy to my left or my right, or the one that planned the mission, you know, down to who's going to eat, where are we going to sleep, what are we going to drive, where's the fuel going to come from type thing, how are we going to get to point A to point B. So it took an entire army, literally, to plan these things. So that's the kind of the way I see is our business, our operations. So yeah, it was kind of beat into me there. And I know also in the back of your mind, you're like, well, Brent can do it. I can definitely do this.
Yeah. Well, Brent, you've got a grasp on everything though, right? Like, you know exactly where things are and where they're going. But like, if you go into your pipe drive, it's not like you're going to know where every little piece works.
And for Lord, no.
Yeah. And for me in the past, I was like, I'm the smartest one in the room, right? Even though someone built it out, if there's a problem, I'd be like, I can go fix it. And then I could lose a day trying to fix that thing instead of being like, that's stupid, right? Like, let's go put it in the hands. And I feel like this business really allowed me to use it as an exercise because, you know, really the risk versus the reward, it's not like other things, right? I mean, we're not having to spend $30,000 a month in marketing to generate deals, right? Which is... Yeah. In my market in DC, if you want to wholesale, I mean, legitimately, it's going to cost you, you know, $7,000-$8,000 a deal, right?
And to get the deal to mail it, basically, or
yeah, just the marketing expenses,
just right? Marketing.
Yeah, I mean, pay per click is probably like $200 a click, so this isn't that. So, you know, that's what I really appreciate about this business.
Well, you said that, like, you know, you usually are the smartest person in the room. And well, one thing I try and do in my life is, which has been very easy, is not to be the smartest guy in the room. It's been very easy for me because I can always learn something from someone else. And I've learned a lot of things from you with other things. So how long have you been doing land? When did you kind of start?
Yeah. So I think probably like in April, I think March. It may have been before that, and it took me a little time to get in. I think I started really actively getting in the coaching calls in March and April around there.
So about 6 months ago.
Yeah. And from the time that I started getting in the coaching calls, really, I mean, we got our first deal and we closed and we monetized, you know, in like about 60 days-ish.
First deal from the time you started in land, you closed in 60 days and made money.
Yeah. And the deal that we, so it was actually two deals that closed quickly. They were both like just amazing deals. And on those two, rather than, and this is the other thing that's been amazing is like in the other avenues, like wholesaling, I call it chasing the dragon. And anyone who's new understands it is that like, unless you get lucky with a big deal in the beginning, you're constantly putting these marketing dollars out, right? That's why Tom is like, you know, in the course was always saying, hey, 6 months, dedicate 6 months. It's because you're going to burn money, right?
You're going to
burn money for 6 months. And until you start getting those deals, you can't recapitalize, you know? And in this business, what's been amazing is like, we were like, all right, let's approach this different. We want to have fun with it, first of all. We really want to make this so it's not a stressor. And the first two deals that we got, we decided we're going to flip these. Right? We're going to get them and we're going to flip them. We're going to capitalize, get more marketing. And we're doing that. And we've made a decision now that for every five deals we get, three are going to get converted into notes. And then two will be flipped right away. So that we can constantly churn that money.
So the business is supporting itself rather than you having to support the business.
Yeah. And listen, within a short period of time, and we've got a three-person team outside myself and my partner. Right. So we've got one virtual assistant who's handling the website. She's also handling a lot of the administrative stuff. She works basically 7 to like in the evening, sort of overnight, because she's in school. Then we've got my sort of go-to person who's involved in it. And she's like overseeing a lot of the logistics. She's making sure that the LAC gets the due diligence. We get it back. They're verifying all that stuff. And then we've got another guy who's out there. As soon as the leads come in, he's calling, setting it up. We've given him the number and then we move forward, right? And then on the disposition side, my partner and I kind of get involved with a little bit of that, but we'll probably transition a little bit more of that to our existing acquisitions person.
When you say THALAC, do you mean the guy that runs all of our, does all of our due diligence and title work?
Yeah, yeah.
Exactly. I was going to say, do you have a virtual assistant called THALAC as well?
No.
Yeah, that he has been absolutely extraordinary to have. It took me a couple of years to find him. And he runs all of my title work and like literally saved me from getting in big trouble. But like he saves me thousands and thousands of dollars a month. Yeah. I would put that guy's worth 50 grand to me right now. Like, if I could just put a price tag on it today.
It makes life so much easier, right? And it's making that work out. I mean, I think it's something that just, listen, you've provided so many resources too, right? And like the playbook that you've provided, it's such a great framework for everything, right? And you know what's frustrating in the beginning, honestly, Brent? It's like
my spreadsheets.
besides the spreadsheets, is that it's so simple, you want to overcomplicate it, right? So it was really frustrating feeling like, why isn't Brent giving us more info? I don't understand. Like, why isn't there more info? And then until you start getting down the road, you don't realize there's not a lot of like intricate pieces. Yes, there are steps you got to learn, but it's not the complexity of, say, like a development deal, right? Where you got to deal with counties and like planning boards, neighbors, or any of that stuff. It's just, it's very simple. And I think the interesting thing I found is that the people we sell the land to are essentially just younger versions of the people we're buying the land from, you know?
Oh, 100%. That is the best distinction I've heard about this. I never thought about that. Wow. Yeah. That's so true.
Right. And it's just, it's this idea of what are they going to do with it? They're going to build something and it's the ownership of the land. And it's like, I think one of the most rewarding things about this is that like, you're buying something from someone who genuinely no longer wants their thing, right? Mm-hmm. They just want to be out of it. They're like, I'm done. I've owned it forever. I never did whatever I wanted with it. Let's sell it. And so they're very appreciative of you coming to buy it. Outside of that, the people buying it, they're so excited about it, right? When they find the right one. And we got lucky because the county we went in Colorado, they just broadband just hit that area. And with COVID last year, it's only about 2.5-3 hours away from Colorado Springs. And I think it's about 3 from Denver. And they had this mad influx of people coming out there buying lots, right?
The beautiful thing.
Yeah. And so we got lucky. And so the first one we bought it for $2,100, right? We found an agent out there. And originally, Brent, we're thinking, all right, we can sell this for like 7 to 9 based on what the comps were.
Yeah. 7 to 9,000.
Yeah. Yeah. So we thought it was a good deal. Then this agent we talked to, and she's like, oh my gosh. She's like, no. She's like, people want that type of lot. It's near, you know, utilities, near water. It's in the right area. There's trees. It's not out in the plains. And she's like, you could probably get like $15,000 for this. And we're going, okay. And we ended up selling it for 18.
18,000. So you spent 2,100 to make 18,000.
Yeah. And that's what said, hey man, this is going to fund this business. Like, and because
what is the ROI on that? I know you've got it in your head.
Oh, I honestly, Brent, I don't have the percentage on that one, only because I just like the numbers, the dollar sign, you know?
Yeah. I got to pull out my calculator. It's 21,000 or 2,100. So 18,000. Divide that. And that's not including your mailing costs or anything like that.
Yeah.
$2,100.
That mailing, Brent, we only sent out 1,800 pieces and we got 2 deals and we're picking up a third one from that original mailing.
So 1,800 mail pieces.
Yeah.
And you got 3 deals.
3 deals. The second deal we pulled from the same neighborhood. At that point, my partner and I said, listen, let's just get some momentum and get some cash in the door. We bought that one for $500 from the owner. Then we paid $620 in back taxes, which he didn't tell us about until closing, right?
Oh, they never do.
Yeah. he's like, yeah, we're up to date. And then we ended up selling that one for $8,500.
Okay. So about $1,100 to make $8,000.
Yeah.
So, wow. And that was off of still the first mailer.
Yeah. And then here we go. The third one that we just picked up, listen, when you get these, like they come in, there's so many calls coming in and you send offers out and sometimes you forget. And you had said this too about like, just making sure you remind people, you know, you're often dealing with people that are older, they're out of state. It's not a top of the mind. Right. And so we'd sent him the offer back in May. Right. And he just forgot about it. He was still fine with the price. We sent him an email and we called him. And he said, oh, okay, yeah, I still want to sell it. He signs it. We've got that one under contract for 23. And guess what? It's in the same area as the one that we sold the one for 18. And our agent thinks we can get probably closer to 15 or 16,000 for it.
Unbelievable. So another one that you're going to do more than 8.5%. You're going to basically, and that's like, how long are you holding these? Because that's a fear a lot of people have. Oh my God, what if I get stuck? How long is it going to take me to sell this land?
Yeah, those 2 deals, we did the mailing in April, right? And the mail didn't hit probably till May. And so we get it in May under contract around there. And we were closed, you know, right around June, you know, some stretch in June. So it was quick. Buy side and sell side. So in that
area, buy and sell all in less than 30 days.
We're looking at 60 day window where we bought it, we closed, and then we moved on. And it was fortunate. And that's where I think our strategy now, when we go to a new marketplace, we're doing this now in Virginia and another county that we just, and in that county, we've locked up two and we've got two more coming in. You finding a really good agent there and having that agent sort of help with disposition and get you to understand the landscape, I think is really key, because there's so many of these factors in the land with like the utilities, the position, what are the buyers looking for? I mean, she was a huge help because there were a bunch of these smaller lots in that same county where they were like $500. And originally we're like, hey, let's just buy all these, right?
Yeah. Heck yeah.
And she goes, no. She's like, you don't want to buy those. She's like, it'll be really hard to sell. She said, you need 8 of them to be able to build to get a permit. And so you've got to get 8 contiguous lots, and they're not all continuous. Like the
owners, 8 lots touching each other.
Yeah, basically. Exactly. But they're not all there, right? Like, so there's gaps. But she also said you'll be lucky if someone buys it to stick a trailer on it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, that you got to be careful with that. And I mean, essentially, you got boots on the ground. You're sitting in Virginia. You got this amazing realtor to help you with boots on the ground. I mean, what, like this person, and I'm sure they're not on salary. They're not on payroll. She's paid by performance, right?
She's paid by performance. And on those two deals, we had her list both of those, and she split a 10% commission with the other agents. And at the numbers and the spreads that we had, we're like, let's just do it, you know, like, and for us, what we found too, and I don't know if you've experienced this in some of these more rural areas, title companies are just like, they're atrociously slow. Like,
yeah, they are. They really are.
I think the issue is in those areas, it's probably hard to find good people to be the processors, you know?
Yeah,
We just, dude, the closing got delayed like 3 times because of the title company just not communicating and not getting docs. Like, the buyer on one of the deals was just, he was so frustrated because he'd never done a settlement before. Right. And we're just telling him, like, this is just part of it, man. And we're really sorry. We just kept pushing it.
So I got a ninja trick for all the listeners out there, and as well as you, and you probably used this before, but one thing we do on my team is we want to better the lives of our title agents, our title companies. So one thing we do is we figure out who's all in that title company, and we figure out what their favorite restaurant is, and we provide lunch that day. And we generally, like, you know what tip means? To ensure performance or promptness, whatever, to ensure promptness. Why do we tip afterwards? So it's almost kind of like our tip to ensure promptness. We do it with our lender. We get their favorite restaurant. We figure out what it is. And usually it's like a Thursday or Friday, a little bit more laid back. Our real estate office, who else have we done it with? It just creates an environment where when they see one of our deals come through, they're amazing.
Yeah.
It's just, and it's like, it's such a small thing. And generally we don't spend more than $100, $150. And that's food, drinks, snacks, like delivered with Grubhub or Uber Eats or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a great idea. I've definitely done that for other things. Like, where our office is here, you know, we bring donuts and coffee to the people at the front desk, and there's anything that we have, they're just super, super on top of it for us. But that's a great idea, especially in new markets when we're going in and opening the doors, you know?
So I love the fact that you are in Virginia. You found the county in Colorado, just outside of massive growth like Denver and Colorado Springs, because I say that all the time. You just want to be on the outskirts of that explosive growth that's happening. My market is Pueblo and Colorado Springs, and I'm having to pay more and more, and I'm pushing further and further out. But you just went straight virtual right off the bat with this. So that's pretty gutsy move out there. And it worked for you.
We did, because of the same reason, where it was like, let's not be able to drive and solve problems, right? Let's not.
I love that.
Do you know what I mean? Like, and we picked the one in Virginia to us, which is about 2 hours away, because we were kind of like, let's see if we can get lucky and find something we want to use now. Right. And so we went that route, but even that, it's 2+ hours away. And so like, it's not, we're going to go out there, but we picked the first market to be that way, so that everything we did, the way we thought about it from the start, was we can't be there. So we need to have the right resources. And so we're always spending the time and finding the right resources, or finding the most resourceful way of solving the problem. In fact, for us, you know, even like, so we've been doing drone videos for our listings, and we found an amazing drone photographer out there who does stills, puts it all together, something like that. You know, it was really hard trying to find someone who did that in that area. Really, really hard, because it's so remote, and and rural. And had we been able to go there, we probably would have tried to go down there and like network and do that. But instead, we went on Facebook and we joined a bunch of local groups, like neighborhood groups. And there was one there. And I just said, hey, I need a photographer in this area. I need a recommendation. And we got a bunch. And we got this amazing guy who's a, during the day, he's a school teacher.
Amazing.
Yeah. And evenings and afternoons, he does this. And I think it cost us for the drone, the editing, the music, the whole thing. I think it cost us like $175.
Who, not how. Amazing book. And I'll tell you, I just moved to Florida. My whole team, or most of my team, 90% of my team is in Colorado. My office is in Colorado. My playground is in Colorado. My counties are in Colorado. And it allows me to have a business now because I'm not there. I'm not networking. I'm not driving and checking it. I used to go and look at a lot of this land because I just liked it. My wife actually kind of hit me between the eyes with it one day. I was like, this will be a great piece of land. There's a stream running through it, like Mountain View, this, that, and the other. We could build a cabin. She's like, how many cabins do we need? Because I was trying to keep all of the land. So I stopped going to the land about that day forward.
Yeah, that's awesome. I do totally appreciate and respect everything you've done. It's been a huge learning curve. And then being able to like, I understand now way more how you built what you built. Because like I said, every other business I've been involved, I'd either bought existing businesses or I built them from the ground up, you know, where I was like the driving force into it. And to go into this, which is such a different angle, where you're starting with the intention of only of like being at that top layer, looking down as opposed to in and then moving your way to the top. It's just been a total paradigm shift in how we're doing it. In fact, it's impacting even how, you know, the primary thing I'm involved in is in a boutique mergers and acquisitions firm where we have a holding company and we buy businesses and do that. Even there, it's really the mindset shift of this top down, the right people getting all that has really made it so that we can leverage greater partnerships and bigger things.
That's so awesome. And I'll tell you what, like people are, that's like to hire somebody is makes people so nervous. And the way I look at it, how I get over that is if I'm going to hire someone, for example, let's just say an executive assistant that's paid $60,000 a year, which is pretty good for an executive assistant. That's an investment. That executive assistant is in turn probably going to bring me in, let's just say two times that at a minimum. So that's an extra $120,000 a year gross revenue coming into my company because she's going to, you know, answer emails, check my calendar, help me out, explode me, buy plane tickets, get me on podcasts, get me on stages, things like that to allow me to bring in more business. So talk about that. Talk about the investment in your team, like how, what gave you the mindset to do that, to stay out of the minutia, because that's a hard thing for most people. They literally buy their own job. They leave one hellhole job and start another one type thing.
It's funny because in what we do in advisory work and consulting in these business things, like these are things that we constantly hammer to business owners, right? Like we deal with folks, and especially when we're helping them dispose or exit from their business, that we have to really talk to them about like buying yourself a job versus an actual business, that the buyer pool is different. So the multiple you could get on your business, right? The price you could get for your business, which is usually a multiple of what your profit is going to be higher when you have this thing that runs itself, right? Mm-hmm. Because the profit's bigger. And so it's funny that that's what we're doing, but because of my business experience, it's always been in fixing the problems, doing all these things, utilizing my ideas as opposed to cultivating something which is people driven from the start. It's been very eye-opening in how much I've been working too hard and not smart enough. And this business, I think what it is the stakes were so low. Right. Mm-hmm. Going into it, you're not having to buy $100,000 worth of equipment or $1 million worth of equipment. You don't have to buy a big chunk of land. You don't have to do this. You just need a computer. You need some money for marketing and you need persistence. Right. And if you can do that, and then you can then have enough capital to find an amazing virtual assistant. I mean, you know, this, there's some amazing talent out there that is at all price points. Right.
Yeah.
And you just got to set your expectations based on, you know, communication, language, and what you're paying them, right? And for, you know, $5 to $8 an hour, you can get someone who can do amazing, amazing things. I mean, giving examples like the website that we're building out right now through, you know, Carrot, I haven't seen it. I haven't touched it, but it's built out, you know?
That's amazing.
And it's all been in the hands of someone in Venezuela for $5 an hour.
I mean, I still talk to my my OG. Well, she was actually my second virtual assistant. My first one actually is now a registered nurse in the United States, came from the Philippines, but her sister helps us with things now. And that's all the way back from 2015. And basically, the second one is in India. She's got a PhD and she charges me $5 an hour. A PhD. This girl can do anything.
Yeah, yeah. Dude, is it Michaela or Malika is your Indian?
Yep, Malika.
Malika. She's actually one of the ones that really inspired, because when you would talk about everything that she was handling,
oh yeah,
it made it very tangible to be like, okay, this is very doable, because you know, I don't have to learn how to do this foundation. I don't have to do this thing. I just got to get the right people to build these very simple things out, right? And then keeping it in that very simple lane.
And I still catch myself. I'm like, how the heck am I going to do this? Then I'm like, oh my goodness, who can do this?
Yeah.
And it's just amazing. Like, you know, Henry Ford, they tried him for being, you know, and I might mess this story up, but like, because he was ignorant, they said he was ignorant. Well, he said, I've got a row of numbers on my desk. And it might've been like 9 numbers, this little pad he could push. And he said, I could get the answer to anything out there that I need the answer to. And ultimately we have the same thing, but way more powerful than what Henry Ford had. And it's a phone, and we call Lewis, hey, I'm looking at this assisted living facility in Virginia. Like, what do you think as far as these numbers? Like, there's always a who. We're never going to always know the how.
Yeah. Yeah. That's such a great point. I think you had recommended that book to me, and I read it earlier this year. And I think that plus the opportunity, I think maybe that's probably what also opened my eyes to the land part, right? Because honestly, when you think about the actual parts of the land business, it's boring, right?
It is boring.
Really boring.
There's nothing on it.
Yeah, there's literally, listen, you're sending mail, you make an offer, you know, it's very systematic how you do it. And then they call you, you talk to them, you negotiate, you do that. There's nothing. And it's land, right? It's not like you're like, oh man, there's this amazing open kitchen concept kind of thing. It's like, no, it's a nice piece of land, or it's not a nice piece of land. And that's it. Right. And it's not a very super dynamic thing, but the fact that it is that simple, you know, allows you to go and do it. And honestly, like, I think this is one of those things that anyone with enough of the financial resources to get the mailing going, right? Do it consistently, and then drive and be committed to just making those calls, making the offers, and not being afraid. Hey, anyone can do it. You know, like it really is super simple.
Yeah, I love it. I mean, I'm living proof of it. When I started in Atlanta, I had no money, no time, one newborn, just married recently, like a year before that. So, you know, it's like, if I can do this, anybody can do it. And it's just, you know, you said it best. It's like, you're letting it build itself. It's like, you can't plant an orange tree today and live off of it tomorrow. You got to keep building it, cultivating it. What's the future look like with you and Len?
So we're growing the markets that we're in, but we're kind of expanding the region. So because we got the resources in Colorado and where we are there, what we're going to do is kind of move outward from there, so that our people that are there can kind of access those things. And then we're probably going to pick a new market in North Carolina at some point, because what we're going to get into is probably a 90-day cycle of these three markets where we do it and then we expand. What's interesting is we've got probably 2 or 3 deals right now that they haven't been signed yet, but we've been pushing this from the start, where some of the sellers may want a price that's just a little bit too high for us and what we want to do. And we're offering them owner finance, and they're very much considering it, where they're going to finance the land to us, and then we'll buy it from them on their note and then sell it again on a wraparound and put it out there and resell it, which then allows us to capitalize. I think, because that was really one of the biggest concerns was, and you had mentioned this at one point, because I know part of your big explosive growth came at a certain point where you built up this money, you found an investor, and you had an opportunity to buy a lot of lots. Right?
A lot. Discount, like bulk pricing, 117 at one time.
Yeah, right. And 117 and at scale, like I'm sure there's still lots that you weren't able to sell, but the number—
About 10 of them.
Yeah.
Right. I got 10 left.
Right. But the rest of them worked out where you're super profitable in doing that. Ultimately, what that's going to do is people are going to feel this sense of capital constraint, right? Regardless of how much money you have. And we were sort of mitigating that by doing 2 things, which is the selling of the land. So, you know, keep 3, sell 2, right? But then these owner finance ones, you know, we're still working through those pieces. I think it's another way for us to be able to pick up these lots and then get them back out there. The great thing with land too is there's no sense of urgency for the most part. And so you can get these deals. I mean, we were originally going out there being kind of dumb. And the first two deals we closed, I think we had them at like 30-day closings, right? And it's totally unnecessary, right? And so with some of these, we're now seeing that we can push that 60, even 90-day settlements, which then allows us to actually get the disposition market starting and really pushing that. Where again, if you're flipping it and you don't have the money, if you can get it at the right price, get it on the market, you could have the end buyer before you've even closed on it, and then, you know, double close, do whatever by the time the closing comes around. And then your issue with having to buy it is no longer an issue.
Yeah, I got a friend that just told me like, hey, yeah, I got a piece of land under contract. The day I got my offer letter back signed, I put it on LandWatch, had a buyer, and this is a big parcel, like a $240,000 parcel, had the buyer lined up to where it was just a simultaneous closing.
Yeah.
So I was like, that's just crazy. That's amazing. Love it, man. I appreciate you kind of sharing all that insight. You know, last question, if you could go back 10, let's just say 15 years ago to the Lewis Kim in real estate 15 years ago, what would you tell Lewis Kim if you had the ability to do that? I know I just threw you on the spot with that.
You know what I would tell him? As I would tell him, I'd tell him to start with land earlier.
Start in land earlier.
That's so good. And listen, Brent, the funny thing is, there's a story within my own family where we own a piece of property that made another family multi-millionaires. And so my folks own 40 acres in Caroline County, Virginia.
And
somebody had signed it over to them because back in the 90s, my parents had lent them some money. And, you know, back in the 90s in the Korean community, it was very much a thing where you would really help each other lend money and do all that. And they did it, and their business ultimately folded. Right. And so they had nothing. And so my parents were either going to end up with nothing or this piece of land. And so they got this land signed over to them, and they got it and it just sat on it. And then I went one time to look at the title. And when I looked at the title, there's a company called Silver down in Fredericksburg, which anyone who's from the area knows that Silver is a major developer of the area. Right. Okay. And this property had been like owner financed by Silver 5 or 6 times. So like he had sold it, you know, he had bought a giant piece of land of like thousands of acres, subdivided it, and then sold it on owner financing as notes. And you could see in the deed where it's being transferred and then it's coming back, transferred and coming back. And that's how he made his money. And I was like, oh my God, I just learned like how this multi-millionaire made tons of money. And, you know, we're talking back in like the 40s and 50s. You know?
On one 40 acre parcel that he subdivided and then kept taking back, because I assume they defaulted.
Yeah, they at some point defaulted, right? But tough economic times come along the way, right? I mean, that's the thing when you're the bank, right? If some people can't meet their obligations, you get it back, right? And so that's what they did. And you can see it all around us, our lot in that transfer over the years of these larger parcels of just going back and forth. And I think ours is an anomaly where it was like 4 or 5 times. But what we are, my parents are the single longest holder of the land. So that should tell you something.
That's wild. Yeah, there's a couple I've gotten back now 3 times. Well, one of them I've gotten back 3 times now. So I'm thinking to myself, man, my grandchildren are going to end up with some of this land one day, which is crazy to think about.
Yeah. So I just got to say, Brent, I really appreciate everything that you've been able to teach and provide. It's been amazing. The intangible things I've learned from coming into the land has just been awesome.
Thanks, man. Appreciate you, Lewis. I'm just glad that you took action on it. I knew you were going to come back and say, look how simple this is, but you did it. So that's what matters to me most. And I'm really excited to see where you're going to be a year from now, 2 years from now. I just see larger and larger deals happening. Maybe you can get that 40 acres back, you know?
Yeah. Okay. Well, I mean, no, they definitely still own the 40 acres, but it's been pretty, listen, the land thing at the end of the day has been amazing. I would tell anyone who's listening to this right now, if you're hesitating, I would tell you not to hesitate, right? I think anyone is capable of doing this. You can totally do this while still having a job and keep it moving. And look, you don't want to be me like 4 years later, going, I wish I had done that 4 years ago, because now, you know, maybe the market's crowded or it's not there. But to be able to get to six-figure passive income, I don't see a lot of other ways. And this isn't like Forex trading or crypto trading where you're taking giant risks. This is like, it's like the book Atomic Habits, right? You know, it's those little things. And it's, this is all that thing about stacking over time. You be patient. And then eventually, you know, you wake up one day and all of a sudden you're clocking $10,000, $15,000 a month and you realize you can spend time to do it.
Yeah. And then, you know, and then you see the system that you built to get the $15,000, $20,000, $30,000 a month. Yeah. And all you've got to do is tweak a couple of things and you're hitting $100,000 per month. So it's just the sky's the limit, really. So love it, man. Thanks for jumping on. Have a blessed day. And if you're interested in getting started on your way to generating passive income through land, head over to wholesalinginc.com/land. That's wholesalinginc.com/land, and schedule a call with me. We'll hop on a short call together and discuss your real estate investing goals. And if it sounds like we're a great fit, I'd be honored to help you on your land investing journey. And I'll see you next time, land sharks.
That's all for this episode. Your next step to success is to continue the conversation over at wholesalinginc.com by joining the mailing list, as well as get your chance to book a strategy session to learn the systems and become part of the tribe and work personally with one of our amazing coaches. We'll see you next episode with more ways to make you a fortune in wholesaling.